Let's look at some of the statements of Jesus from the standpoint of correct identification. Jesus, of course, represents to us an individual who has accepted divine life and therefore is Christed and becomes the Christ, having died to a personal sense of self, having died to a sense of a personal form, so that a Christ itself no longer can be crucified. It isn't in a physical form. It cannot be entombed because there's no physical form to keep in a tomb. There is only the pure divine life of God. Now, as the way shower, then, who is showing us that we have to come to the acceptance of ourselves to be the divine life without corporeality, he walks through the earth, appearing to us through our concept of that invisible self as Jesus, a man. But he's consistently telling us, I'm not a man, I am light. I am life. And if you believe on me, meaning, if you will know that the life that I am, which is doing these things, is the life that is you, well then the life that is you will do these things where you are. And so we're looking now at one who has done what we are learning to do, even in a small measure, who is assuring us that we can learn to do what he has done. And now at the tomb of Martha and of Lazarus, he says this to Martha. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the life. I'm not Jesus Christ, a man. I am the life. I am the life of the Father. I am divine life right here, right now. But I'm not only the divine life in Jesus standing here, I'm the divine life which is the one divine life. I must be the divine life which is the life of him who you call your brother Lazarus down in that tomb. I am the life of all, because there is only one life, and that is I. That life can walk out of a tomb because there's no tomb for that life. In other words, that life in you walks out of the tomb of death in you. That life in you walks out of the tomb of a cripple, out of the tomb of a financial problem. Out of every tomb, the life that Jesus is showing is here and is the life of all, walks out of the tomb of every human problem. And there is no place where it does not walk. There's no closed door to that life. It's walking this earth now. It's the only life there is. I am the life. And I am the life that is the life of you. And when you accept the life that I am as the life of you, you can have no other life. And that life will show you that it is what we have called the miracle worker. It is the Savior. It is the Messiah. It is the only life. It has no end and no beginning. in time or in space. In that life, there is only the perfection of that life, the harmony of that life, and only the life of that life. It has no terminal point. And so the acceptance of this life that Jesus is showing forth as your life, you are doing what he called knowing God aright. Because God is that life. And to know that life is to know life eternal. The moment you have re-established identity as the life which Jesus was witnessing at the tomb of Lazarus and in his complete 3-year mission, and which is the life that he's living this moment, that life is your life, and you have found the life that never ends. And the more aware you become of that life, the more it will reveal to you the multiplicity of its benedictions. As your consciousness opens to greater acceptance of this life as your life, it reveals more of its fullness. Always in this Bible, we have been given the knowledge that the life of God, revealing itself as the life of Jesus, and as the life of those who were called victims who had come to Jesus for healing, that life is always perfect, no matter what concept the mortal mind may overshadow. And wherever there is an acceptance of the life, even through one, that shadow is lifted, and the eternal, timeless, ever-present, perfect life again is revealed to be there, functioning in all its perfection. It never has gone anywhere. It is never less. It will not be more. It will always be perfect life at every point of itself. And it is your life. And then we're told, anything you shall ask in my name shall be given to you. And my name is your life. Whenever you have accepted your name to be that life, everything that you might ask for is already accomplished. All you need to do is sit down and watch what your acceptance will do. Now again and again and again, Jesus made the claim, I am the life. He was showing you the miracle worker. And ye are the life. And so the miracle worker is the life of God, and that is your kingdom. Your function is to be the king of the kingdom by the acceptance of the life as your life. And your world is to be redeemed, all of it, by the recognition that you never had a world. You had a world of images. The only world there is the pure, perfect life divine. It is the only one that is present. That is where we are and who we are. The identity of each of us is that universe of the divine life. Now, whom shall you fear? What circumstance shall you fear? Or what problem can you possibly anticipate and still accept that the one divine life is all there is throughout what we call time, and beyond, and throughout what we call space, and beyond? That is all that will be here tomorrow. That is all that has ever been here. Your acceptance of the one divine life, then, is the crucifixion of every yesterday that was not the divine life. It couldn't have happened because only the divine life was happening and is happening. Every yesterday in mortality is just a lingering concept. The next birthday is a concept. Your calendar is a concept. Your wristwatch is a concept. There is only divine life, and in it there is no time, there is no space, there is no material progression, there is no aging, there is no recovery from pain, there is no heartbeat, there is only divine being. Can you stand there in the knowledge that I am the life and realize that life in your consciousness? So that it wells up inside you as a fact, not a statement. And that is the purpose of the meditations we are to do this week. I'd like you to each take this assignment. Take the word identity. Just bring it down. Vertical. I-D-E-N. And with the I, make a word up. And with the D, make a word up, like I am or infinity. But something that's true about your identity. So that you might end up with something like I am as the I, and then D would be divine. And then E would be, everyone else is. I don't care if it's four or six words, but start it with a letter, so that each letter of identity is the beginning of a word or a sentence about your identity. And when you get through, you'll have eight words or sentences or paragraphs. Much as you want to write, but begin it with the I, and then do it in such a way that you remember that I, for me, stands for infinite. D for me stands for deny it and you lose it. E for me stands for everyone is the same infinite identity, and so on, until you have some kind of an inner remembrance that the word identity for you means these things. And then in your meditations, practice those meanings of identity for you in a contemplative way. Be still and let them take root until you are able to be in the silence accepting identity as life divine. Not life human, not life with a birth and a death, not life with an up and a down, not life with an aging process, not life with an end somewhere, not life with a Medicare program. Just life, divine, as identity. And after you've had enough meditations on life divine as identity, continue having a few more meditations on the life that you are not. I am not life in form. I am not life that comes and goes. I am not changing life. I am not life becoming better life. I am not physical life. Until you know who you are. Until you can stand in front of any tomb, in front of any person, in front of any circumstance, knowing the life that I am is divine, and that is all there is, as far as the eye can see and beyond. And for me, there's nothing beyond that to do. for it doeth its own work. It revealeth itself. It will blossom forth and make the desert as the rose. There is no human need to do it. It doeth its own work. We have been told in many ways that as we sow to the flesh, meaning to the mortal life, we reap corruption. As we sow to the Spirit, meaning divine life, we reap life everlasting. For us there is no ending. For us there is no beginning. For us there is no improvement. You begin at the level of divine perfection. You cannot improve. You accept divine perfection. You do not start at the bottom and work your way up to it. Humanhood never becomes divine. And divinity never becomes human. Now, if that isn't clear, let's go over it again. Spell out the word identity vertically. Make up a word, sentence, or paragraph, or whatever you wish, in which the first letter begins a statement about your identity with the letter I. I am, or identity is, and then another with the letter D, then letter E, until you have finished it and have something that you can even later consolidate to a point where for the next 20 years you can remember what identity means to you. So that wherever you are, you can contemplate that word meaningfully. And the reason you should do this is that there is no situation on this earth that cannot be faced successfully with a knowledge of identity. If three wolfhounds come up to nibble at you, identity must include their identity and yours, and right now, as the one invisible divine self, period. Always, only one life is present, and that one life must always include every form that you see, whether it's the tree or the bird or the dog or the insect or the bill collector. There is only one invisible life everywhere. And as long as you are accepting it, you are sowing to the Spirit. And you will reap life everlasting. The conscious awareness that the life of God I am living now. And nothing can ever separate me from it, for this life and I are one and the same. We have been going outside of ourselves to get things. But there is no outside of ourselves. Going outside to get things is the ignorance that our life is the one infinite divine life. There's no outside. My own life has to yield itself in my experience. There's nothing outside it to get. It is self-contained in all perfection. And that's the meaning of being a contemplative. You're accepting that your divine life is self-contained. It is everywhere. And it will pour forth its fruit to a place that is called your human selfhood in the middle somewhere. And this will be the fruit on the tree, but only because you're not living as that human selfhood. Everything will seem to come from the circumference into this center here, But there is no center and there is no circumference. It is one. The only life in this universe, then, is identified as your life. When you meditate with that, and it declares itself within you, instead of you declaring it, you will know you have reached the point where you have accepted it. You may think you've accepted it, but until it within you declares itself, until it lifts you into a new order, where your mind is no longer saying anything, but rather receiving from the infinite the assurance that it is so, then you will know that you have overturned and overturned, and he has come whose right it is to sit upon the throne. There is an infinite acceptance. You've reached the realm of the fourth dimension of consciousness where the spirit within you says, yes, I am come. This is out of your hands now. You're not in human government. And don't try to retrogress and go back into human government to defend against things. Don't try to get things. The government of God, the government of spirit, is infinitely perfect and infallible. It doeth the works. It performeth, it perfecteth. Just know. Know, you are the life. Rest in it. Accept it. In confidence, and its peace will envelop you, and its peace will give you that peace which the world cannot give, the peace of grace and fulfillment. You will find yourself looking out at the relationships of yesterday, and they will change before your very eyes. The very substance of them will feel different. Old animosities quickly fade. The usual things that pressure us become the sting of the serpent that no longer has power. When they caught us in the low focus of a human selfhood, and we met them all on their own level, we were seeing two powers. We were witnessing good powers, material powers, mental powers, powers that overcome other powers. But in our new elevation of consciousness, we're in the one self that has no need to overcome anything. For all that is on this earth is an imitation of that one self that you have discovered. You never have to use a power over the imitations. You never have to use a power, period. Because the one self is ever maintaining its glorious perfection where you stand and in all that concerneth you. Now this little core of a class, learning of its own divinity, is being prepared to walk forth within the consciousness of the world where two powers are accepted, knowing that there is no power on this earth other than perfection in all things. We walk with our hands behind our back. We do not worry about faltering businesses. We do not worry about any condition. We look through the form through the appearance, through the shape, through the size, through the density, through the condition. And we accept that one perfect life is the only presence, and it is I. It is the life of the horse, it is the life of the dog, it is the life of the bird, it is the life of the cat. And I have no need to assist that life. I merely must recognize it, and its perfection will manifest where I stand. The life recognized becomes identity infinite recognized, and that becomes grace manifest. Not just in 60, 70, 80 years, but unto eternity. That is why the dice of God are loaded. There is no power on this earth that can alter the presence, the perfection in all things of reality. Every individual that you are willing to see in this light, with this consciousness, you are lifting up, redeeming, improving, to lift them out of their mortal sense of self. Not with words, not with arguments, but with a recognition of one life. You never proselyte with words. You never become a great missionary. But secretly and sacredly, you are lifting the consciousness of the world. Now take those two lacks, those two problems, those two disturbing people, and after you've completed this identity chart for yourself, apply it. Apply it to everything you consider wrong in your life. And if you do it correctly, you will see that there is nothing wrong in your life. Absolutely nothing wrong in your life. Not one thing. You simply had the wrong life. You hadn't accepted divine life as the only life, and living in the false sense of life, you even inherit things that are wrong in the false sense of life. Then you can look out and crucify that false sense of life and watch your garden grow. Next week we'll do chapter 8 in contemplative life. But always, as we walk into another chapter, we must remember that the book, The Contemplative Life, as all of the writings of Joel are about your life, are about the Christ of your being, about the Christ of Jesus Christ. And always the Bible becomes a very central source of refreshment for us. Yes, we want to read the books, but that Bible must never be forgotten. Because you can take any inspired statement out of the Bible and go all the way with it. The Bible must still be an important part of your weekly reading. And if you've been neglecting it, it isn't necessary to read chapters. a phrase, a word, a situation, anything that emanates from an inspired consciousness like Jesus Christ has to be important. And really, a week gone by without something from him is an opportunity wasted, even if it's just a sentence. If you only took I am the Father of One and brought it into this chart of identity and worked with it for a day or two, think of the priceless opportunity to work with I am the Father of One about your own identity, knowing that these words were spoken from the source, were spoken by your identity. Is there a better teacher? A more dependable one? So bring that Bible back into your weekly work, even though you read next week's chapter 8. And work out your assignment. Look at the people around you with the knowledge that their identity never was any different than yours. Look at the birds and the trees and see that their identity is never any different than yours. All is your one life. It is all you. There's nothing in this universe that is not you. Don't you see? You are the life of the universe. And the life of the universe is you. There's no place where you stop and someone new begins. It's all yourself. And only when you recognize yourself everywhere will yourself everywhere come and pour its abundance where you stand. This infinite self-recognition takes you out of persons and personalities. You're looking at yourself everywhere, and this must become a ringing reality. Identity. That's the story today. And it will be as long as we walk this earth. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. No other life before me. I am the Lord thy God. I am life. And beside me there is no other one, no other life. We have all been slaves to form when we have freedom in life. The slavery is the slavery to the mental idea of form, to the material idea of form, to the material things. We are slaves to forms that have no existence when our freedom lies in I and the Father are one life. You and the Father are one life. Everyone and the Father are one life, and there is no other life than I. I am the only life on earth. Whom shall I fear? What condition shall worry me? I am the only life on earth. Do you see how you pyramid yourself up? You step up the ladder, step by step, until you can come to that place. I am the only life on earth. I am the only life in all the universes that exist. There is only one life. And every time you're fearing or doubting or wondering, trying to improve, you are saying, I am not the only life. And you are having other gods before me. Now, you can't just make the statement, I am the only life in the universe. It'll be very hollow. But build your ladder and climb it slowly and carefully up your 8 steps of identity. Do it yourself. And next week, bring it with you. Or whenever we get together again. I'll try it. I'll bring mine with me. We'll see what we have come up with, what we can put together and all agree on. One identity that we can all understand. That will be our strength. I'm sure that when Jesus stood upon this earth and looked out, that spirit which stood where we saw a form, that infinite consciousness knew it was the only life. It was life knowing itself everywhere. There was no other life it had to worry about. There was no other being but it. And it is you and me. I am the only life. Everywhere. And that includes my client and my employer, my brother and my sister. These are the masks of forms. The life is I, everywhere. Wherever you go, you are. When you try to jump into that realization without building your ladder, you can't hold it. But as you build a step by step, you'll find you can hold it for a little while. Then you have to go back again and hold it again and again until one day it takes root. And you don't have to go back to the first rung of your ladder. You're on the second as a permanent dispensation. Maybe someday you reach the third rung. You never have to go back as far. And you wake up with the knowledge there's no other life on this earth than I am. Practicing that reality is practicing the presence. And grace does flow in the measure that you attain the pure consciousness that the one life is your name. Thank you very much.
Thank you.